Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this new day. This day that in your word you say should bring us blessing and joy. And so we thank you for this day. And so we thank you for all that you have done, all that you have provided. Help us to grow in our understanding through your word of who you are and what we desire. What we should desire is our relationship with you because of the relationship that you want to have with us. And so we thank you for all that you're doing, what your word has revealed to us and continues to open up to us greater understanding of the times we're in and the future that lies ahead. So help us to grow in that understanding and keep searching your word to find the truth. Because your word is truth, and you have given us the Holy Spirit by faith in Jesus Christ to be the Spirit of truth that can be our teacher, our guide, our comforter, our counselor. So help us to rely upon that and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Be with us this day, in this time, particularly in our study, and guide me to what I share, that it may be true to your word and may bring meaning to your word, hopefully, that I can express. Thank you for those who have come and those who may be listening in. Pray a blessing on each one. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you have your Bibles open to chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, I'm just going to read the first 5 verse 1 through 5a. Because this is kind of what sets up this chapter in Deuteronomy that we often call the second giving of the law. But it's not really a giving of a different law. It's the same law that God gave to Moses. It's just that Moses is reminding them through God's direction of what they received at the beginning of their journey. And now here they're at the end of their journey waiting to be led into the promised land. And so we'll pick up with this, and then I'm going to also read a couple other verses 28 and 29 and 32 and 33, just to kind of give this perspective. So as it reads, chapter 5, verse 1, Moses summoned all Israel, all his chosen people. We believe probably some nearly 2 million people that were preparing to go into the promised land with women and children as well, children that had been born during the journey, the 40-year journey. And so we believe it was a pretty large group. But Moses summoned all Israel and said, and I'm going to emphasize this phrase, hear, O Israel, the decrees and laws I declare in your hearing today. Learn them and be sure to follow them. The Lord, our God, Yahweh, our God, made a covenant with us at Horeb. It was not with our fathers that the Lord made this covenant, but with us, with all of us who are alive here today. The Lord spoke to you face to face out of the fire on the mountain. At that time, I stood between the Lord and you to declare to you the word of the Lord, because you were afraid of the fire and did not go up the mountain. So that sets up what he's going to reveal again or emphasize again is the Ten Commandments. So from verse 6 all the way through verse 21, you can read all that for yourself. You can go back and compare it to Exodus 20 when the original law was given. And you can see some minor differences. Not anything that's major. It's pretty much the same message. And so those are the Ten Commandments. I think all of us are aware of the Ten Commandments. You know, I know we try to push them out of our view. I mean, they've around our nation in the past few years or several years, they've taken them down in courthouses and other places. And that's what I'm going to hopefully get to and talk to either today or next week. How America has totally, I believe in so many ways, left God. And so what are we seeing? What are we seeing in our times? All this chaos, all this destruction, all this killing. I mean, it's just all this flaunting of immorality. It's just everything. So we're gonna cover this in this section, and so we'll just go a piece at a time. So anyway, let me read those verses 28 and 29 as we move on past the commandments themselves. Reminding us, the Lord heard you. This is Moses telling the people, the Lord heard you when you spoke to me. And the Lord said to me, I have heard what this people said to you. Everything they said was good. He was pleased with their response to what Moses had shared with them at the mountain. That their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commands always, so that it might go well with them and their children forever. I'm just going to briefly mention, I think that's part of our problem in this country. We no longer follow God's way. We have rejected God's way and said, we're just going to do it our way. We're going to live the way we want to live. It doesn't matter. Those crazy Christians in those churches are just, they're idiots. You know, so we should realize it shouldn't surprise us what's going on, because we'll see some things later here that God instructs them on. So that's verses 28 and 29. And then I want to finish chapter 5 with the last two verses, which are 32 and 33. So be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, so what should be the result if you do what the Lord requires of you? So that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land for Israel that you will possess. And I believe those promises extend to his people through the church age. And I believe those who there's consequences of people not having a long life, but I believe a long life is one of the blessings of God, even though, as we know, as we get older, the body doesn't hold together very well. And so there's things we have to wrestle with. But I believe all these things are in God's plan and God's purpose. So I think we can take this to heart. So that's all I want to cover in chapter 5. I encourage you to reread the commandments and take them to heart. So now I'm going to go on chapter 6, because this is my primary lesson for this morning. And as I go through this, I've kind of taken the liberty of wanting to teach faith lessons. I think we should always look at God's word and glean out of it what it should mean to us. What should we get from it? What should it encourage us to do? And so I'm calling this Faith Lessons, Deuteronomy 6. I'm going to talk about the instruction given by God in this reading. But then I want to talk about the action. What action is he desiring for his people? And so I believe it's no different today. And so I want to read this section. I'm going to read from chapter 6, verse 1 through verse 9. Because technically verses 4 to 9 of this section are called the Shema. The Shema, which just simply means, is the Hebrew word for hear. Hear. And it goes on, and most of the Jewish people, the Jewish students of the law, memorize this. Many of you have probably memorized it through your years being in the church. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and so forth. So we'll read this, but the verses 4 through 9 are particularly the section that's often called the Shema to the Hebrew people, and just simply means to hear. Open your ears. Open your ears and hear. Listen and hear. Okay, so let me read here those first three verses to set it up. Moses goes on and says, these are the commands, the decrees and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land, as they're preparing to go into the promised land, that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord. Now fear is a powerful word. It literally means to be afraid, but it's a respectful fear. Our fear of the Lord should not be a quivering fear, but yet if you're doing something wrong, it ought to turn it to that. So anyway, to them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. And now, again, here he says, hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land, flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. So these three verses set up this next section, which gives them more specific instruction on what it means to hear, O Israel. What are they to hear? Verse 4, I'm going to read verse 4 to 9, and then we're going to talk about this a little bit, maybe in context with what it should mean to us. Hear, O Israel. Shema, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Let me just stop there just for a second. I think all of us know, being in the church, that God is three persons in one. That's a concept that many have a hard time understanding. There's three persons of what we call the Trinity of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so the three persons. But as we honor God, we recognize the unity of God through one, the oneness. So here, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. In other words, your total being. Don't just give him a gesture. Don't just give him a show off. Do what God says, and he will in turn bless you. And I believe that's what he was saying to his people. These commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. What does it mean to take something to heart? We can hear something, whether it's secular, whether it's music, whatever it might be, and we can maybe memorize some of the words or whatever. We can hear the words, but until something is taken to heart, you hear it, you study it, you grow to understand it, and you ultimately believe it. And the key thing is the process of getting to that belief. And so that's why this says, take it to heart. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Faith resides in the heart. When I talk about faith lessons here, it's the heart that God wants. He wants our heart, our being, our feelings, our belief system, all the things that make us up internally. Okay, then it says impress them. And this, I think, is, and so I'm going to refer to these different terms here, but let me read the whole thing first. Impress them on your children. The commands today in our country have, parents are just letting their kids do whatever they want to do. And that is not what God wants or desires. So impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. Back in these days, Old Testament times, they walked most places. And so as a family, or a father and a son particularly, would walk with their children. And as they're walking with their children, they would remind them of all of God's teachings. And so they're to, when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you're getting ready for bed or resting or sleeping, ready to sleep, and when you get up, it should be the last thing you do at night and the first thing you do in the morning to prepare yourself. And then tie them. This is a kind of a ritualistic thing that actually the Orthodox Jews do even to this day. And so I'll talk about this, how they interpret it and how they respond. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So the Jewish people, if you ever seen Orthodox Jews on the news or whatever, you see them in their dark robes and so forth oftentimes, and dark clothes, and they're walking around, and certain really Orthodox Jews will have what they call phylacteries tied on their hands or on their foreheads. And it's a small container that they put this or the commandments in their form. It's really they use one symbol to remind them of this law, of this request of God. And that's the Hebrew letter, the Sheen. The Sheen, which is the SH sound in Shema, and the Sheen reminds them. This is what I think is so neat, and I've taught on this many times. But if you look the topography of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is laid out from, if you looked at it from up above, from God's view, and you look down upon Jerusalem, his city, it's actually laid out kind of like you do this, three valleys with two mountains in between, Mount Zion and the Mount the other mountain where Calvary was. And so you have the two mountains, and between them you have the three valleys. You have the Kidron Valley on the right or the east. You have the Gehenna Valley, I guess it actually is, on the west to the south. And then in the middle is originally called the Tyropian Valley, which now I think is just basically called the Central Valley. And so it really lays out kind of like the three valleys with the two mountains in between. And so this picture from up above, God would look down and he would see an impression on Jerusalem like the Sheen. The Sheen would be impressed on his topography. And so they use this character to remind them, and they put it in their phylacteries and carry it with them, reminding themselves of the law, the word. And then they also put it on their doorposts, the door frames. As they enter their house or whatever, they put the container on the side of the house, and you'll often see them. If you catch them going into their place, they'll tap it. They'll tap it with their hand. And so that's a reminder that they acknowledge, they continue to acknowledge this importance. So let me turn to the first, since we went through verse 9, I just want to talk about, to set this up, the first three. The first three are... In verses 3 and 4, we heard the term hear, Shema. Hear the Lord. twice in these verses. So what should our action be? What should our response, what is God asking his people Israel to respond, is to hear. So what really should be our response? We should listen. If we're told to hear something, we don't just, "Oh, I don't want to hear it." We should listen. And God's word is the most important thing to listen to. And so, not that you can necessarily hear God speak to you, but if you're in Christ and you have the Holy Spirit, my experience is that things will come to mind and be put upon your heart to respond according to God. Sometimes it may just be a song. It may be a song that you recall and you just start singing out. Or maybe it's a prayer. It's a prayer that you repeat. But it should require a response. So when God says to hear, listen. The second one, verse 5, what are we to do? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so what does that mean? Those of you that have had marriage relationships and so forth, you're to love your spouse. But we're to love God first. And I think you can only truly love another person, love your spouse or another person, if you first love God. Because otherwise, love is generally a selfish love. It's not intended to be selfish. It's to give yourself away. And so I think the action of love should be that we care. We care about it. We care for someone. We care for, love God. We're to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves and so forth. And then the third one I have here, which I think is important, is impress his word upon our hearts. And I talked about that a bit. So in these verses 6 and 7, if you read that over carefully for yourself, if you impress something, if you put pressure, if you plant it and press it in, keep it in your heart. And so I put the action that should result with the impression is to believe it. And until you believe it, it's not real. It's not lasting. It's not eternal. And so you can go through the motions. You can say you believe, but if you don't act upon it and you don't put it in your heart and believe it and act accordingly, it's not true. It's not real. So I'll let me move on with the other teachings in this chapter 6. And we'll pick up the other 4 I have here on the board. So let me read from verse 10, and I'm going to read all the way to 17, and then I'll stop there. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. Always catch that. Those are the 3 patriarchs. Back to Abraham, God gave his covenant to Abraham. And then it was passed on to his son Isaac, and Isaac to his son Jacob. And so the patriarchs, to give you a land with large flourishing cities you did not build. You did not build these where I'm taking you into, but houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide. Wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. And when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God. Serve him only, and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods. I'm going to talk about that as I get to that one. Do not follow other gods. The gods of the peoples around you. Look around you. Who are you associating with? What's their belief system? What do they honor? And so, peoples around you, for the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God. And his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. Do not test the Lord your God as you did at Massah. Be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees he has given you. I'm going to stop there because that's kind of where I leave off with the seven actions. In verse 12, we have to never forget. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, who provided all this for you. That's what's so interesting. The Israelites were in the presence of God. They saw the miracles of God. They saw the actions of God on this 40-year journey. And yet so many of them fell away and followed the bad way, and many of them had to be destroyed during the journey. And so it's a new group of people, by and large, that are entering the promised land. And so that's, so that point, never forget. And I just make it simple. Remember. If you never forget, you're remembering. And I think, you know, I've often, in giving the communion meditation here, I use that phrase because that's part of the communion. Why do we celebrate communion here every Sunday? Because we're never to forget. Never forget what God has done through us, for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so that's how we should respond to God. Never forget. And so we should remember. And that just means simply to remember it. Don't put it out of your mind. And then verse 13, fear and serve God. And action on our part is just to give honor. Give honor to the one we should honor and respect. Whether it's family, friends, co-workers, whoever it might be, don't diss them in the common terms. Give honor, but first of all, honor to God. So we're to fear and serve him. That's how we show our honor, respect, do what he asks us to do. And then verse 16, do not test the Lord. You know, that's one of the things I see. Whether they know they're doing it or not, we see so much of what's going on in our country, even in churches, even in the churches by and large. We're doing this. We're testing the Lord. Well, the Lord really doesn't want to avoid this and not do this and not put all this flaunting. I mean, I just was sickened. I was sickened this past week, and I know others were too. When you have drag queens in the White House celebrating a signing of a document that codifies same-sex marriage, it's like in your face. You have drag queens in the schools showing off or whatever they're doing to young kids, 4, 5, 6, 8-year-old kids, thinking it's funny, thinking it's entertaining. This is where we've gotten to. All these things are an abomination to God. And so this is why we're not to test the Lord your God. And then lastly, in verse 17, we're to keep his word. It's not easy, because the ways of the world are drawing, and continuing to draw us. But we need to turn back to where the truth is. The truth is in his word. If we want to spend eternity, and I think too many people do not either believe or consider that there is an eternal life, that's for everyone. But there's two places you can go for eternity. One, you don't want to go, and that's the fires of hell. And the other one is heaven, the eternal kingdom of God. And that's where all of us will live, one place or the other, for eternity. And eternity is a long time. It's forever. It's not just a short period of time. So those that I've heard say, well, all my friends are going to be in hell. I just want to party there with them. How many times have you heard that? They don't know. They don't know what the truth is and what hell is really like. So this, I think, keep his word. Keep his word is the important thing to remember. Let me finish. I left off at verse 17. So let me read on with verse 18 to the end of the chapter. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that it may go well with you, and you may go in and take over the good land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers, thrusting out all your enemies before you, as the Lord said. As I was reading this, they were literally going into the promised land. The promised land back in the days of Moses and Joshua after him, Joshua leading them into the promised land, was a picture, a foreshadow, a type of eternity, eternal kingdom. It's the land flowing with milk and honey and everything that's good and right. Now we know that didn't pan out because they didn't keep God's way and they lost that promise temporarily. But there's still an eternal promise for Israel in God's plan, and God will fulfill his plan. But do what is right and good in God, in the Lord's sight, and so that it may go well, and so forth. Verse 20, in the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you? Tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Here again is another type. Israel was a type of situation where they were in slavery under another empire. Egypt is a picture of the world, if you will, in our time. We're slaves of the world system. We fall under the world, and if we don't have God and we're not believers, then we are going, they're enemies. We're fighting a losing battle against the enemies. So that's in the future, you see. Before our eyes, the Lord set, he sent miraculous signs and wonders, great and terrible, upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. God did all these things to tell, so Moses would tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Get them out of slavery. Turn them loose. Set them free. And so it is today. I like to relate these different pictures in the Old Testament to the situation today. I believe the world by and large is in slavery to the world. And so we need to do what Moses did for his people, and God caused it to happen, set my people free. And the only way to be free from the world system, and you know who runs the world system at this point in time is Satan himself. All these satanic things that we're seeing happening before us, God is allowing them, but Satan is pushing them in our face, just constantly bombarding us with all this depravity. So he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land that he promised on oath to our forefathers. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God. so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as in the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness. God is a justice and a righteous God. The cross gives us that picture. That's how far God went, to show, demonstrate his justice. And he had to give his only son to die on the cross, extend his arms, telling us how much he loved the whole world, and so that our sins could be forgiven. And he made himself right with God by obeying God and going to his own death and dying on the cross. So we have that picture of Jesus, who ultimately became the completion of justice and righteousness. And so here it says that will be our righteousness. And so when we put our faith and trust in God through his son Jesus Christ, we have that. And that should be our lasting belief. I'm going to probably stop there and not go on to chapter 7. I've written on the board what I want to cover, because we're going to talk next week, and I've talked about this in my different lessons many times. But why did God choose Israel? What's so good about Israel? What's so unique about Israel to be God's chosen people? So we're going to look at what chapter 7 says, and we're going to talk about it a little bit more next week. And then in chapter 8, I'm going to talk about how is what happened to Israel seemingly happening to America. And so I encourage you to read chapter 8 as well as we prepare for next week, and see if you have any thoughts or comments, and add to whatever I share. So anyway, okay, we'll close with a word of prayer and prepare ourselves for a time of worship. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time you've given us to be here in this place, this warm place, to get out of the cold. We thank you for all that you provide. We even can appreciate the snow, the whiteness of the snow, whiter than snow. So our sins can be forgiven, we may be made clean as white as snow. And so it should remind us of that. By faith in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. So we thank you for this time that we've had in study. We thank you for your word. We thank you for all of your word, from the Old Testament through the New Testament through the book of Revelation. We thank you for your prophecy, that we can continue to study and look at the times and see all the things that are happening around us, and see how you're preparing. You're preparing your plan is being carried out, and you're preparing the way for the rest of your plan to take place. So we thank you for that as well. Help us to be attentive to what's going on. Help us to be called as your servants, to be doers of the law. Show how we honor you and honor others by giving and sharing and keeping the law. So we thank you for all things that you've given us to study and to understand, to grow in our faith. We thank you now ahead of time, Lord, for our time of worship. We pray for this time that we set aside, hopefully each Sunday morning, that we can come into our time of worship. We can look forward to the people who come into this place. We can extend our hand of fellowship and express our love for each other and care and concern for each other. And then we can worship you. We come into this place to worship you, whether we do it in song, in music, by lifting up our voices and singing, whether we do it with our prayers, lifting up our requests and our praise and all in the word of prayer, or we do it in hearing the word. So I pray for the word that will be given today, the Christmas message, that and then Pastor Raymond's message that he will share with us relative to that. That our Christian tradition of celebrating Christmas, and we do it because we believe that it did literally happen over 2,000 years ago, that Jesus, the Son of God, did come into this world and was born as a baby, grew up to be a man, did his ministry, and ultimately went to the cross and died for our sins. And then he did not stay in the grave. He rose from the grave. He was resurrected. And he ultimately ascended back into heaven. And he sits at the right hand of the Father. So when we pray to God, we pray through Jesus, our intercessor. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've provided for us. And now our time of worship, we just ask for your blessing upon it. And we ask for a blessing on this day for all people who have listened into this and will listen into the service as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.